A promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana. So help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Akosua Yamwa. In the headlines, POTAC likely to call off strike today. Public Interest and Accountability Committee holds first public forum today in 2nd D. Vice President celebrates passage of new Presidential Transitional Act. Nigeria suspends license of Dana Air following Sunday's crash that claimed lives of more than 153 people. Al-Qaeda number 2 man killed in American drone strike on Pakistan, and MPs mourn death of their colleague Alhaji Idi Sani of Ulensi.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
There are indications that the strike by POTAC members may be called off today. This follows a meeting by the Ghana National Union of Polytechnic Students, POTAC, the Ministry of Education, and representatives of the Polytechnic Rectors Association. Speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News, President of the Ghana National Union of Polytechnic Students, GNUPS, Shaban Abdul Manaf, said the Ministry of Education assured POTAC members at the meeting that their single spine salary and its arrears would be paid by the end of this month.
The meeting ended successfully, and the Minister of Education was able to assure the POTAC members that come the end of June, their salaries will be given to them, meaning the single fines and the 8 arrears will be accrued and given to them. So they have also decided to convey a meeting by tomorrow morning to meet with the various chapter chairpersons, that is POTAC chair in the various polytechnics, to tell them what the government has said and the resolutions we have come to, and thereby maybe, if possible, they would be able to call on the strike.
So it means for now, apart from maybe speaking on radio that people can get to know of it, you've not managed to get through to all your members?
All our various polytechnics, everybody is anxious. That is the word I must use here, waiting to hear that they have called off the strike outright. And this is a medium that we intend to use to let them know that the process is ongoing, and we pray that there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel, so they should just keep their fingers crossed. Other than that, we would have been able to communicate to them and tell them that the strike would be called off by tomorrow, but you do not know how the outcome might be. Even though we have had the full assurance of the ministry that is representing the government and the finance ministry to have also given us the assurance that everything is going to be in process, so that by the end of June, their monies would be given to them.
President of GNUPS, Shaban Abdul Manaf. A lawyer at the center for public interest law, Abraham Amaubila, has advised the public to be circumspect in their discussions of legal issues, saying their utterances may prejudice a legal process. Commenting on the Wayome saga on Behind the News, Mr. Maliba indicated that although the wheels of justice grind slowly, the public must be patient and allow the due process to take its course.
The court of public opinion sometimes muddies the water, and that is why some of us are saying that we should be very circumspect in the way we comment on these matters. Because the public opinion, the judges outside the court, are so many that if you begin to listen to them, you will not understand the processes in the real court. So you get people saying that, oh, this is a delay tactic. But in fact and in reality, these are matters that happen in court, and the wheels of justice grind slowly, but it will surely catch up with the accused person.
A lawyer at the Center for Public Interest Law, Abraham Amaliba. A former Minister of Justice and Attorney General Ayikwe Utu says the filing of the Nolly Prosequi by state prosecutors and the rearrest of Alfred Agbesi Woyomi is not a new phenomenon in the legal realm. He, however, thinks the move was to prefer new charges against the embattled businessman. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Utu noted that the three discharged persons may be used as witnesses against Mr. Woyomi. This could only materialize based on their cooperation.
Well, as you are well aware, under our Constitution Article 88, all criminal prosecutions are conducted at the instance of the Attorney General. By the same token, is given the right to enter a nolle prosequi to truncate a trial, but that does not amount to a bar to an accused person being rearrested and charged and brought before court. So what they did today is in line with both the Constitution and the laws of this country by entering a nolle prosequi and starting the case afresh. As to what the charges are now, whether they are better than the other one, I think it's all a matter of strategy. You see, the three accomplices could be used as witnesses maybe subsequently. If you are trying a case against four persons, you have a duty to prove the case beyond reasonable doubt against all of them. But in the case that maybe one or two of them could be used as witnesses to assist your case, then in that case, you don't need to go looking for the evidence because the evidence is already there. Perhaps they would even cooperate with you and give you more facts or insight into the case. So I do not know. Maybe that is why they're trying to say for now that the others have been discharged and perhaps turn around to use them as witnesses against you.
Yeah. But from a bit of that legal knowledge, people will tell you that they were not acquitted and discharged. They were just discharged. Does that mean that at any point in time, they can also be arrested again?
That is so. But if what we are hearing is that for now it is Wayomi who is standing trial, and what I am trying to infer from what is happening is that perhaps they may want to use them as prosecution witnesses rather than accused persons.
Former Minister of Justice and Attorney General Ayike Otu. The Public Interest and Accountability Committee, PIAC, will hold its first public forum in Sekendi, Takrady today. This follows the publication of the first annual report of the committee on the management and use of the country's petroleum revenue. The meeting will afford Ghanaians the first opportunity to respond to the findings of the committee on how the oil revenue was managed and used last year. This is contained in a statement signed by the chairman of the PIAC Communications Subcommittee, Yawusu Adu, who's also the director of radio at Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. The PIAC is a 13-member monitoring committee established under the Petroleum Revenue Management Act to essentially evaluate compliance by the government and relevant institutions with the law in the management and use of all petroleum revenues accruing to the country. As part of its monitoring duty, the PIAC is also required to provide space and platform for the public to debate whether the way and manner all revenues have been managed, saved and spent conform to agreed national development priorities. Bimovers and Kokumbes living in Accra have called for calm in Nagbanduri following clashes that have already claimed three lives. They say their common enemy is hunger and poverty, and all efforts should be channeled in fighting the plague rather than killing each other. The president of the Kokumba Development Association and an opinion leader in the area, Bugri Nabu, made the passionate appeal on Radio Ghana. He said both Kokumbes and Bimovers risk continued underdevelopment if the conflict is not resolved.
We are disturbed. We, the Kokumbes and the Bimovers in Accra and in the southern side, we have been meeting since this thing started. And we, me as an opinion leader and the president of the Kokumba Development Association, I am just appealing my brothers, my uncle, my father, the Bimovers, and my CM in the Kokumba to calm down, lay their hand, let us, they should sit together, their brother. They're no different than the Bimovers and the Kokumba. It's unfortunate. So I'm only making all appeal to them, they should lay down their arms and go to the Nigeria. If they were not satisfied with what the Nigeria has, we would go back to him. But how can brothers use weapons to kill each other? At time Kokumba versus Kokumba are fighting. At time Bimovers versus Bimovers are fighting. What is the sense in it? And our prominent enemy is poverty and hunger there. This is the farming season. And instead of them to engage themselves in farming, so that they'll get food to feed ourselves, they are stopped and they are allowed doing this kind of on whatever thing. I'm appealing to them. They should go to farm and then get food to look themselves. What they are doing, they are doing more harm to themselves. Pulling each other's houses down, burning them, the houses, and burning the foodstuff. How are you going to live? So we are at the summit, appeal to them, and I want to use your media. Plead with them, talk, and sit down. I understand a piece of land they are talking, 11, 2 acres. Why should this one bring a conflict?
What will be the long-term measures in resolving this conflict?
I believe that some few people who are with the Concombers and the Bimovers are creating this problem for them. And it's time for them to know them. Because I don't see why a Bimover and a Concomber should go to war, or a Concomber and a Concomber should go to conflict, or a Bimover and Bimover should go to conflict. People are laughing at us. People don't, when they see such a thing, they think they are doing good for themselves, but they are disgracing themselves in the whole, in Ghana here, else outside Ghana. They have to stop it. Now, what they are doing, the development is not going to come. Because if the place is not secure, who would like to go there and work? Who would like to go and establish a business there? This is some of the things that my brothers, my fathers, my uncles should know. Both Bimovers and Concombers, they are harming themselves more.
An opinion leader at Nankanduri Bugrinabu. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. POTAC likely to call off strike today. Public Interest and Accountability Committee holds first public forum today in Sekendi. Vice President celebrates passage of new Presidential Transition Act. Nigeria suspends license of Dana Air following Sunday's crash that claimed lives of more than 153 people. Al-Qaeda number 2 man killed in American drone strike on Pakistan. An MP's mourned death of their colleague, Alhaji Idi Sani of Ulensi. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. Vice President John Dramani Mahama has stated that for the country to continually deserve the accolade beacon of democracy, there must be a new chapter of civility in the political discourse. He said government will ensure that the ideals for which the accolade was gained are preserved by ensuring free, fair and transparent elections come December. The Vice President was speaking at a program last night to celebrate the passage of the Presidential Transition Act 2012 in Accra. The bill, which was passed by Parliament in March this year, is to remove the acrimony and administrative lapses that accompany the handing over of power from one political party to another. A report by Pascalina Dadivo.
The Presidential Transitional Act is an initiative of the Institute of Economic Affairs, IEA, and the Ghana Political Parties Program to govern future transitional processes. The idea was picked up by the IEA in the inaugural State of the Nation addressed by President Mills in February 2009. The cornerstone of the legislation is accountability in many aspects of public administration. In summary, the blueprint looks at accountability provision, which includes detailed inventory of executive assets and spells out clear-cut guidelines for ministers of state to vacate their official residences. It also looks at resolution of transitional disagreements as well as a structured time frame to guide the transitional process. Even though free and fair elections in Ghana has contributed to a current standing as the African success story, one cannot move away from the fact that transfer of political power in 2001 and 2009 were characterized by administrative lapses and controversy. These have been partly blamed on the absence of a transition blueprint. Vice President John Mahama is of the view that with a blueprint, focus must be shifted to lessons that have been learned in the past and how to improve upon the lapses. He said the transitional blueprint should serve as a...
In the book, there is a...
They attempted to pass this law in time for the 2009 transition, but for some reason there was a lot of feedbacking until after the results of the first round of the election had been announced in 2008, and it was realized that the elections were going to go into a second round and that there was a possibility of 2000 repeating itself. So at that point, there was a rush to try to pass the bill, but it was too late. But it was good that the bill was not passed in 2008 because many things happened in the 2009 transition that compelled us to change many of the provisions in the bill.
Members of all the major political parties were present at the program to celebrate the document, which is the first in sub-Saharan Africa. For Radio Ghana, Pascalina Dadevo, Accra.
They attempted to pass this law in time for the 2009 transition, but for some reason there was a lot of speed dragging until after the results of the first round of the election had been announced in 2008, and it was realized that the elections were going to go into a second round and that there was a possibility of 2000 repeating itself. So at that point, there was a rush to try to pass the bill, but it was too late. But it was good that the bill was not passed in 2008 because many things happened in the 2009 transition that compelled us to change many of the provisions in the bill.
Members of all the major political parties were present at the program to celebrate the document, which is the first in sub-Saharan Africa. For Radio Ghana, Pascalina Dadevo, Accra.
The Ministry of Trade and Industry. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Hannah Tete, says government is increasing avenues for improved investment in the country, that she noted is due to pragmatic policies put in place under the Better Ghana agenda. She said this at a program to launch an exhibition of products from India. An Indian business delegation is in the country to explore business opportunities and share ideas with their Ghanaian counterparts. The delegation is made up of people with interest in agriculture, health, tourism, manufacturing and mining. Eya Kwamwa has the details.
India has assisted Ghana's development efforts in the spirit of South-South cooperation over the years. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Hannah Tete, said the program is a testimony of the country's congenial business environment. She said Ghana and India have a lot of thriving businesses, citing Airtel and Melcom as examples. Madam Tete said, notwithstanding the year being an election year, Ghana is still a preferred destination for doing business due to its democratic credentials.
We will provide all the avenues for increased investment and partnership within our economy. Elections notwithstanding, Ghana certainly, once December 7th is over, will continue to be the country that you have known, a good place to do business, and will continue to be your best option for investment in West Africa. We believe because of our peace, our safety, our security, and our commitment to continuity of the basic principles of state policy, irrespective of the party in power.
The Indian head of Department of Commerce and Industry, D.S. Desi, said Ghana's growing profile as an emerging economy, coupled with the oil fine, makes it the preferred destination for doing business in the sub-region.
Ghana's growing profile as an emerging economy in West Africa and the self-management of oil exploration commercial economy provides an opportunity to the businessmen and individuals in the areas of interest. Ghana has also large reserves of natural gas, which will further add to business opportunities to Indian companies. India and Ghana have already signed an MOU for the setting up of a gas-based fertilizer plant at an estimated cost of US$1.2 billion.
Mr. Desi explained that the main objective of the Indian show is to exhibit products of Indian companies and their capabilities. He appealed to the business communities from both countries to work together towards a common goal for their mutual benefit.
A report by Yaya Kwamwa. Ghana is said to be lagging behind in attaining the Millennium Development Goals 4 and 5. This target is aimed at reducing child mortality and improving maternal health. To address the situation, the World Food Programme is supporting government programs to help reduce malnutrition among children and pregnant women. The WFP also provides nutritious food to people living with HIV and their families. The country director, Ismail Omar, made this known when the Saudi Arabia government handed over 200 metric tons of date palm fruits to support the school feeding programme. Georgette Cole was there and filed this report.
The UN World Food Programme has been in collaboration with the Ministry of Education for over 23 years now. It began with the project Assistance to Mitigate Structural Adjustment Effects in the Social Sector. It was initiated by the WFP to assist the Ministry of Health, Lands and Forestry and Education to promote growth among children. As at now, the programme is supporting the school feeding programme in the three regions of the North. Mr. Omer said, dates are fruits with an essential nutrients, vitamins and minerals which are required for normal growth. In a speech read for the Minister of Education, the Acting Deputy Director of the GES, Stephen Edu, said the ministry appreciates the contribution and support by the WFP towards the basic education in the country. He said the donation by the Saudi government is another effort to enhance the meals given to school children under the school feeding program. Mr. Edu called on the GES to extend the project to other regions in the country.
Georgette Cole reporting. The Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, is to introduce the country programming framework to improve food security and aid to the country. This will be used by the organization to define the medium-term response to the assistance of member countries in the pursuit of national development objectives. The Minister of Food and Agriculture, Kwesi Ahori, at a workshop in Accra, said the framework is a step by the FAO to further collaborate with government in the selection of programs for the implementation in areas where the organization has comparative strength. Here's a report by Rita Nyaku.
Mr. Kwesi Ahori said the FAO continues to play a significant role in the development and growth of the economy through its support to the agric sector. He says the FAO, through the CPF, will contribute to the Ghana Shared Growth and Development Agenda, which is consistent with the FAO's strategic framework. He said it is important for the FAO and the Ministry of Agriculture to compare activities in order to avoid duplication of efforts.
It is important for the FAO and other development partners in the agriculture sector align the activities that of the ministry to prevent duplication of efforts. This will allow efficient and effective use of scarce resources, ultimately lead to the achievement of a green goal. We must all therefore work together to help mobilize the needed financial resources for the implementation of our green programs, setting clear timelines and responsibilities for various activities by stakeholders.
He added that in view of the benefits to be derived from the CPF, his ministry is putting in place a technical team to work with the FAO. The FAO representative to Ghana, Musa Mbenga, said monitoring and evaluation are crucial in keeping the program on track. He said the program will help the FAO to implement and assess its work in order to deliver an effective service to Ghana.
Rita Nyako's report. Brazil's recent successes on the social and economic front continue to attract attention from many African countries. With a quest for Africa to learn from Brazil's economic achievements, the World Bank African region has organized a video conference connecting five African countries to discuss how best those countries can leverage on these successes. Nigeria's Civil Aviation Authority has grounded all Dana Air aeroplanes after one of its aircraft crashed on Sunday in a busy Lagos suburb. The commercial aircraft was flying from the Nigerian capital Abuja to Lagos when it crashed and burst into flames. All 153 people on board and an unknown number on the ground were killed. Meanwhile, the country's lawmakers have called for the head of the Civil Aviation Authority to step aside whilst they carry out an investigation. Dana Air usually operates in cities around Nigeria. Dozens of families have been trying to identify the bodies of the dead, which are being kept in a morgue in a Lagos hospital. It had been feared that dozens of people on the ground were also killed when the McDonnell Douglas MD-83 crashed into a printing works and residential building in Iju, a busy suburb north of the airport. Senior Al-Qaeda leader Abu Yahya al-Libi has been killed in a drone strike in Pakistan. U.S. officials said Libi was the target of an attack which hit a volatile tribal area of Pakistan's northwest, killing 15 suspected militants. There's been no confirmation of his death from sources in Pakistan. The White House says Libby's death deals a heavy blow to Al-Qaeda's operations as he played a critical role in the group's planning against the West. Members of Parliament have expressed great shock and pain over the death of their colleague for Wulensi, Alhaji Idisani. In separate interviews with Radio Ghana, some MPs said the loss of their counterpart at such a time is incomprehensible. First to express her sorrow was the Minister of Women and Children's Affairs, Juliana Azumah-Mensah. She says the gentle nature of the late Alhaji Sani made him an exceptional politician.
We are all very sad to hear about the demise of our colleague. I know Honorable Sani very well. He was the Deputy Minister for Western Housing before. And that is where I really got to know him very well, because I used to go there to see him as a Deputy Minister. And, you know, the man is so gentle, so quiet spoken, and so respectful. You know, it's unusual that you are the same colleague, but then he's so gentle and respectful that sometimes you wonder. And so it's rather unfortunate that I didn't even hear about his illness.
MP for Ahanta West Samuel John Fia said though the late MP had a quiet disposition, he was on point in expressing his views.
It's sad, but we didn't know anything about his sickness, we didn't know anything about his health, we just heard of his death. That is sad. We are only praying that everything will be done. Maybe just as it has taken us by surprise, the family members might have taken something by surprise. I pray that they will have the grace to be able to bury him peacefully, and then when it comes to the need for, when it comes necessary for us also to visit them. He is a quiet type, and when it comes to talking his mind, I know he does that.
MP for Ahanta West Samuel John Fia commenting on the passing on of the MP for Wulensi, Alhaji Sani Idi. A demolition exercise has been carried out at South Odoko in the Blikma North constituency by a group of people believed to be acting on the orders of the traditional council. More than 40 structures, including residential accommodation, were destroyed. Priscilla Usuansa was at the scene and now reports.
The scene of the demolition is said to have been marked for a road project. Residents who spoke to Radio Ghana said an eviction notice had been served them few months ago. They said nevertheless, it is still not fair that their structures should be demolished without any announcement.
We were just here this morning, it's around 5:30, when we saw three police cars fully armed with a bulldozer. They came with the Odoko Palace, people leading them to the police. They just came that we were coming to demolish everything here, so everybody should move. Right, they just started demolishing everything. Very unfortunately, the rain just started, so they demolished everything. Somehow, 5 months ago, they came here with the same thing. They met the assemblyman and the MP, and they talked about it, and I don't know what happened. I think they said we had settled the case. So it was very unfortunate this morning. I don't know what happened, whether they give them warning or not, but we just saw them, they just came straight.
We are here for some time ago. People are living here, people build their house here, people put their house, they are building here, they are staying here. They use that they are sleeping place. Some of us with our container here, we work, we pay income tax to internal revenue, we pay AMA licenses to the AMA people. So there's sometimes they came here that the land belongs to them, the chief people, the land belongs to them. So we went to see the AMA boss, and they came around that day to talk that here is a road. So the AMA asked them, the chief, to bring their land documents. So they went to the AMA to see, they checked closer, said here is this junction, here is supposed to be a road. So the AMA asked us to hold on for the meantime, then later they sit down and settle the case.
You heard some residents of Odoko ending that report by Priscilla Owusu-Ansah. The Circuit Court in Accra has sentenced two persons to 10 years in prison in hard labor for possessing narcotics. 33-year-old Ebenezer Lamte, an auto mechanic, and 29-year-old scrap dealer Abbas Osman were convicted on their own plea of guilty. Presiding Judge Francis Obri said the two were given the minimum sentence each because it's their first brush with the law. He has ordered the investigator in the case to destroy the substance found on the new convicts. Ebenezer Lamte and Abbas Osman were arrested last Saturday at Zabunzungu during a swoop by the Kolibu District Police Command. A search produced four wrappers of dried leaves suspected to be Indian hemp on Ebenezer, and a wrapper of the same substance was found on Abbas. Now to end the news, the main points again. PROTAC is likely to call off its strike today following an assurance from the Ministry of Education that their single fine salary and arrears will be paid by the end of this month. The Public Interest and Accountability Committee, PIAC, is to hold its first public forum in Sekedi Takoradi tomorrow. A program to celebrate the passage of the Presidential Transition Act 2012 has been held in Accra, with Vice President John Mahama assuring Ghanaians of government's commitment to preserve the country's accolade as a beacon of democracy. And members of parliament have described as shocking the death of the MP for Williamsi, Alhaji Idi Sani. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana in Accra.